Hello and welcome back to Fan Affliction. I am Jojo and I'm back with Aisha.
It's me.
I was laughing a bit then because I sounded so much like a bad radio host.
I sound like a bad radio host every week.
Yeah,
I suppose so. It's part of our charm.
Oh, there we go, Jinx. How are you? Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing well. A little bit tired, but isn't that always the case?
Yep, absolutely.
How are you doing, dear?
I'm good. I'm just looking out the window and it's very grey and I think it's about to absolutely piss it down.
Weirdly, I've been enjoying the rain this week.
Oh, me too.
I know. Okay, I was going to say, because everyone's like, boo.
No,
like,
I love it. Nothing better. And also, I hope that it rains as I'm going to bed tonight, because there's nothing better than going to bed on a Sunday night, which it is. Going to bed on a Sunday night and it raining outside and you're just tucked up in bed and like all your family and your loved ones are all safe and tucked up in bed and it's just so nice and
it
so
is.
Peaceful. And I tell you, what isn't peaceful is when the bell tolls. What's going on?
What's happening?
It
was a smooth transition. I thought you were going to go for and another place it's raining and stormy.
I suppose it always is, isn't it?
Well, that, I imagine it to be, but perhaps it's not. I don't know. I mean, speaking of dark and stormy, Malfoy. No,
there
I'm sorry.
Go. No,
I
that was.
Boo.
Hey,
no,
make a note of that.
Good.
Use it next time. But where were we? Where were we?
In the last chapter?
Yes. Not in life.
So
I don't
really
know where we're doing, what we're doing in life either. But
no, I mean, we did just spend 25 minutes trying to establish that just between us two.
We'll figure it out one day.
Yeah, one day maybe. Let's think. Can you tell?
I do remember.
Malfoy came back. You know, the higher circle had given him a whole
presents.
Bunch of coins.
Yes.
He'd be
yes.
rich. And
she's
some clothes.
Like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. And then there's discussions that if the higher circle get more suspicious, they might have to move Malfoy from Azkaban to Rome. Permanently for safety.
Yeah.
Forced proximity, folks. Don't we love it?
And they were roommates.
Whoa.
Did you not get the Vine reference?
Nope.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That Vine where the woman walks past on the phone and she goes, and they were roommates. And the guy goes, oh my God, they were roommates. And it's not funny. You have to have seen it.
Okay. I'm sorry. And then there was something about he was all beaten up and she was like, I'll get you a pain draft. And he was like, girl, no.
I thought that was the one before.
I think that it's happened twice.
Oh, okay.
I think so. What else? Oh, we saw the Weasleys. We went back to the Burrow for a second.
Oh my God, Blazer Beanie.
Yes.
He was in it. I just remembered.
Oh, I love Blaze, who doesn't seem to want to join the revival, which is
no.
a yay, but also potentially a nay.
A shame. Mm-hmm. Aisha's very upset about it.
I just want to see a bit of our Blazy boy. He's just so great in all the books. I couldn't fathom a version of Blaze which is bad.
I just want to make a comment here. In all of my years of knowing Aisha, and all of my years of talking to Aisha, and all my months of speaking to Aisha about Harry Potter fanfiction, she never expressed a love for Blaze before.
It's really deep-seated, but it's kind of one of those things that I just love. I feel so much in my body that I don't think ever comes out.
She will happily go on a half an hour talk about werewolf fanfiction on Wattpad, but she will not divulge to me that she likes Blaze Sabini.
No, I love him so much. I love him so much. It's especially, I always forget the name of it, but the Green Couch story.
Oh, why do you forget the name of it every time?
I always
time?
Do.
Because it makes me forget it as well.
Okay, whatever.
Oh,
his character
what is it
in, but across those five books, it was just so good.
He was very good. He is a great character in Harry Potter fanfiction.
I think especially that series, that series of books, it really cemented in.
Yeah.
My deep love for Blaze Sabini and Theo, actually.
I love Theo. It's not, I won't, don't keep it secret that I actually really like fanfics where Draco, Hermione, Theo, and a throuple.
We
love
a bit of a throuple. Yes.
Because you never see it in real life. Have you ever met someone in a throuple?
I've never met someone in a throuple, but I've seen throuples on TikTok.
Well, that's not real life, Aisha.
Oh, boo.
I know you wish it was. But yeah, no, I've never met someone in a couple, so I'd love to get there. I'd love to like hear some stories.
She's looking for a third, guys.
There you go. I'm looking for my couple. No, I'm just so interested. Like, I just wonder if it's difficult or is it easier because there's more of you. I was like, oh, I'd love to know. Maybe I'll do some research.
I think I would just be racked with jealousy. I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah, that's my concern. Because I think I'd be like, if it was like two people who were like so in love with me, I'd be like, great. Oh yeah, my life's so great. Like,
yeah.
As soon as they were just in love with each other more than me, I'd be like, what is this?
Me too. Well, I'm just like, it needs to be all about me.
All about me or all about no one?
Yeah, 100%. I'm on that train. I'm on that train
with
you.
Which is so selfish, but this is why we're not in a trouble. There you go, guys. It's good. You just need to be aware of your flaws.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to do anything about them. Yeah, just exactly. Know. Just know.
So, sadly, there's no thruple in this.
Yet.
No. Can you imagine? Blazer Beanie comes along, they become a thruple. Do you like, you don't like the Theo, Draco, Hermione ones?
No. No. Because I don't like the sharing. I just don't like it.
Okay, I'm not going to divulge any of your secrets here, but you've told me some stuff.
I mean, that's different again because everything pertains to me.
Oh, okay. Yes,
whereas right. Like, you know, it's not always just about Hermione. Sometimes there's a lot of Draco Theo, and as much as I support it, I don't love that for our girl Hermione.
But she's all right with it, so you've got to be all right with it.
Can't do it, sorry.
Okay. To each their own, that's totally fine.
Very true. So that's kind of where we left off. And what else? Her swatting a fly, him being like, you're paranoid.
Yeah, because she was like, this fly is an animagus.
Yeah.
Animagus. How do you pronounce
no,
that?
No, we thought the fly was an animagus.
No, she was saying, oh no, you're right, you were saying it. No, she was saying it. Oh, I can't give up.
No, she's, okay, she thought she saw a fly. Draco's like, no, there's no fly. I'm on the page. Because.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I'm Draco's thinking. Like, no, there is no fly. You're paranoid. And she's like, no, there is. And then my contention was not that the fly, well, it was that the fly could maybe be an animagus, but also that perhaps
you Fluffy, said like loads of things.
Muffins, the cat.
Animagus. Yes, cat. That's it.
Could be an animagus. We really on the fence here because I just feel like that might be the case, but you know, as we know with some of my predictions for bouquet, my assertions can be way off base.
She wrong, you know,
so
wrong.
That's where we're at.
What and did you think was gonna happen in bouquet?
I thought there was gonna be a horrible twist.
Oh yeah. Oh, you crazy.
Yeah,
we're meant to be the experts.
Yeah, I haven't honed my story plot senses. Not gonna
You're
lie.
You're writing a book.
That's also facts. Yes.
So I'm concerned.
Oh, wait till you read it.
No, I can't wait. I'm very excited.
But yeah, I don't remember what your predictions were for this.
I wanted a kiss. I'm desperate for a kiss in real life and in the book. And aww. Oh, I'm only joking. kind of. So that's all I want, and you know, or just something titillating, something that's a bit, I don't know, a bit flirty. Like they have a bit of banter every now and then, but it's not that flirty. Well, a little bit, maybe a little bit. But and I know it's not that kind of story where it's like all about that. But I don't know. I just that's just what I want.
We
and
might
not,
get.
And
there.
I'm not going to apologize for it.
No, you shouldn't. As you shouldn't.
What's your predictions for today?
Oh god, I just want to see Zabini. I don't think it's gonna happen. But
well, he was technically in the last episode, but he wasn't really.
Yeah, maybe I'd also like to know a bit more about the higher circle and like actually what Malfoy's role is in this, because he was very ambiguous last chapter.
Yeah, what's all his presence about?
Yeah, he was just like, no, they trust me now and they threw me money, and that feels a bit rogue.
Yes, I agree.
So yeah, but we're officially halfway through now. Woo! So if you've made it this far, congrats, and
Jesus
thank
Christ.
You.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wouldn't have if I was the listener.
Yeah, well, you know, what can I say? What can I say? Nothing really.
And that's what makes us so good at podcasting. What can I say? Not much.
Just listen. A few weeks off makes you hella rusty. You being me.
Oh no, the royal you is in me and Asia.
But I'm excited for this chapter.
Me too. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Aisha's
reading, so let's all prepare our ears for her dulcet tones.
Oh. Hello, it's me. No, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Okay, I wait really quickly. I read a fan fiction recently. The pairing was Kylo Ren and Rey. And,
oh, okay.
The premise was, it was very short. And the premise was he recorded himself talking and people just listened to it. That's just the podcast, isn't it?
What do you mean?
It was a podcast. It was kind of like a slightly filthy podcast.
People Rey call in or like,
And Rey liked it, and that's just what made me think of it. So there you go. You're welcome, guys.
Love it. God. You know, she truly is an aficionado.
I'm dive. Who? Me?
You?
Why? What, reading?
Yeah.
I'm reading too much.
No, because your taste is, you're willing to read like more out there stuff, whereas I definitely stay in like my comfort wheelhouse.
Sorry, when you know what telling me last week about the Harry Hedwig fanfic?
That was sent to me by someone.
Okay.
But like, I, you know, I just love my enemies to lovers, straight up Hermione.
Oh, come on, I read all the same stuff.
Sixth year. Like, no, because you don't mind it when they're like in other marriages and like have that whole thing going for them sometimes.
Oh yeah.
You know, when they get together and they're later. I don't love that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that kind of drama.
I like a bit of angst. Only a little bit though, not too much.
Just a smidge.
Yeah, just a smidge of angst.
Yeah. Well, so that's why you're more of an expert.
Thank you. What can I say?
Okay.
All right.
So we're picking up literally the next day in the afternoon. So this is August 6th, 3:12 p.m. There's a glint of light that the twist in her stomach recognises as wrong before she takes a second glance and her mind catches up. She looks at her bedside clock, her watch, turns for the door and then turns back around. She runs through a mental checklist, making sure there's no trace of her to be found, from smaller footprints and dust to a tendril of her scent to a strand of hair. 17 minutes. Oh. August 7th, 9:24 p.m. 17 minutes, at least. Hermione shakes her head once, glancing at the fog that curves into the space between them. I don't know when the candle first lit, and it would have the second anyone crossed the barrier around the house, but they were there for at least 17 minutes, suggesting they had a good look around. You're sure it was a person? The barrier only reacts for people or magic, so only animals and animagus form! Yes!
Oh my god!
I swear I've not been reading ahead. Wow. Woo! Sorry. So only animals in animagus form would activate it. Or Patronus, of course.
Of course.
I haven't said anything. They've hinted, but never asked. She shakes her head, shrugs. You wouldn't have to. We've created old articles about it and a record under Narcissa Black.
Narcissa! They...
Oh my God. All my dreams coming true.
This is Aisha's chapter.
This is my time. And a record under Narcissa Black. Where is my mother? It comes out rushed and stern. And there's something else there that tells her that if she doesn't answer right, he might be jumping out the boat to go find his mum himself. Ooh. So she has, but she's been missing. Interesting. Or not missing, hiding? Don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Had he done something to put his mother's life at risk, or does he just not trust the revival not to harm her because of how she turned the war? Safe. Not under record. She can tell people where she is, but as far as I know, she hasn't. We've released the manor, but she's still living in the ministry housing as her own choice. I do know she's safe.
Oh, damn. So Hermione knows about her then.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Interesting.
She doesn't think he buys this, though it's the truth. His face is now covered in the dark of night, and his posture is almost always as rigid as it is now. But there's a feeling, a tension between them that could spark and then explode. And she knows by knowing him, at least a little, that he's only accepting that because he has no choice. The revival did their research. Rome has lived in enough to know that someone is there, and we should expect them again, even if they don't mention it tonight. Ding, ding, ding. Where was I? Buying clothes. There's no one to verify that in the wizarding world, but I believe that they trust you enough at this point not to check. Especially since you said that they're concentrating more on this unknown mission coming up. But I have clothes at Rome. You'll wear them tonight. Ding, ding, da, ding.
Okay, when the story is done, I'm not going to miss this thing.
No.
I love you every Thursday, but I can't. I just don't know why.
Sage.
I just don't like it.
It's probably got some really deep literary meaning because they're probably a literature student or something.
Can I place a bet now that the last like two words of this entire story is going to be ding ding?
No, I feel like every Thursday has a style of ending books where like one of the Dramani will be like blah, 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 and the other one will be like I know, and then they like turn towards
you're
the sunset.
Totally right. Yeah. Actually, okay, I take it back.
You're maybe right. Well, I don't know. You pick them out. He asks it like he already knows the answer and isn't pleased about it. Yes, she says, glaring. Doesn't happen to be anything Weasley's mother has made, is it? Yes, it has a giant M on the front and she knitted Pratt into the back. Don't worry, it's black to always match your mood. I'm quite excited to see you in it, actually. I bet. I'll make sure my intelligence isn't reduced to matching my impoverished clothing, lest you start falling in love with me.
Oh.
Her eyes narrow. Was that an insult about Ron? Was it that obvious? He draws. I once had more than friendly feelings for Ron because of his character, and so there is absolutely, positively no concern over ever feeling so anything even close to that with you. And clothing or vault size does not make the man, and the Weasley clothing does make the man. He sounds annoyed, and she wonders over which part caused it. If I walked into that building dressed, Hermione huffs, some people are so ridiculously pauper and would. Up until recently, you were always dressed in a prison jumpsuit. Did that? I was a prisoner. I was dressed as a prisoner. And that's all you were. That's who you are. Ding, 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 ding. Hermione raises her chin and looks back out at the fog.
I am loving your Hermione voice today.
Thank
it's
you.
And Draco as well. I felt like I was there then. That was fantastic.
Thank you. I was a bit worried that it wasn't going to translate.
No, so, I loved it.
So, August 8th, 10 a.m. Hermione shifts in the chair, pulling out the small thin box from the pocket of her skirt. She'd purposely bought this skirt because of its pocket, despite the way it hugs her legs too much. She pushes it onto the table and wiggles the lid off to reveal the earring inside. It takes me to the office here. I've carried it since the revival took us at Lynch. I set it up for her, Harry adds. Kingsley nods. You won't be able to bring any personal items, not even bath products. Any hint of someone else being there, they could catch it. Especially if female things, Pruitt says.
Why are you gonna hate? Why are you gonna hate Pruitt?
Honestly, Pruitt. At least Leech is not here.
Yeah.
Suspish? Maybe. There'll have to be schedule set up, a time when you sleep, and an aura will come in to watch Bells and Rome before they leave. You can return to your flat for whatever you need and then go directly back to Rome. You can shop in the nearest Muggle village under a disguise, but all other places, Muggle or Wizarding, will be off limits. Harry gives her an apologetic look. One of us can get whatever you need. What about my work? I have cases. They'll be handed over. You can't interview ex-prisoners when you're supposed to be on holiday. I understand that, but I still have law proposals, a meeting with the Wizengamot in a month to present the report on moderated house elf law, and Harry and Kingsley shake their heads.
Sounds like you, Aisha.
It really does.
This is like when we have our catch-up. Aisha basically says what Hermione just said.
Pain. My body knows only pain. Harry and Kingsley shake their heads and Kingsley speaks. You can work on anything that doesn't require needing anything from the department, investigations or meetings. So unless you have facts gathered for a proposal you have yet to write, the assignment will be your only case. It's probably for the best, Hermione, Harry says, and doesn't seem to falter under her mutinous look. The majority of your time is taken up with the assignment, as it should be, Leecher mutters. Fucking Leecher. And it's better if you don't wear yourself thin, unless you just want to go back to your usual work and I'll step in. No. Harry's been trying to convince her to back out of the assignment at the possibility she'll have to stay in Rome on a permanent basis. He thought her best for the job a few months ago, but as soon as she's required to go deeper, he wants to pull her out. It's not something she's looking forward to, possibly living in a constant state of awareness that something can go terribly wrong at any second, but she never leaves a job unfinished. She can handle this, and she even tells herself that Harry doesn't want her to go, and not that he doesn't think she can, even though she suspects it's a bit of both. Fine, I'll put my other work on hold. If you have to. Harry inspects the paper in front of him. They've been by three times, so they might just be waiting to catch bells there or something. As long as it doesn't happen more often, or they don't get suspicious, it's all right. If he does move in and they stop visiting, we'll go back to what we do now. It's still an if. She's hoping it remains that way. She'd rather live with a dozen Peppers than one Malfoy. Ah, oh, that's the name of the cat. I said Fluffy earlier or something like that.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh, wow. Okay, so they're going to the big move into Rome together.
It's time.
And there was only one bed.
And they were roommates.
And they were roommates.
August 9th, 9:21 p.m. Malfoy's cell is in a stone room where the cold takes home, and the corners are always darker with water that seeps through the depths of the earth surrounding it. There are no windows, save one in the door that looks out to the room with a chair at the centre. There's one torch against the far wall, protected from touch by an invisible shield that automatically goes out at 10 o'clock each night and comes on at 6 every morning. Nearly every time she drops him off, he sits in complete darkness for at least half an hour. There's a stained toilet in the far right corner that looks filthy but stays clean. Next to it is a sink that trickles water and is never stopped with soap. Against the left wall is a bed, short enough that she suspects his feet hang over, with a pillow as thin as her ring finger and a torn white blanket as thin as her summer robe. There's a book on the bed now, the one she shoved into his hands last week before closing the cell door with a mutter that he should finish it after starting it at Rome. Malfoy stands in the corner of the room in his Azkaban-issued jumpsuit, numbers 0501-00621, in white, bold colouring across his shoulder blades. He's staring at the wall with the toilet and sink against it, watching something. Just an angle, push, tilt until she sees the bug crawling across the wall. His attention is snagged as soon as she pushes the key into the lock, metal clicking over metal as he turns his head an inch in her direction, no doubt watching from the corners of his eye. Normally the cells are reinforced with spells, wards, and a lock and key, but she still can't use magic down here to get him out. She thought he might escape because of it. They're both always tethered inside the cave, but he hasn't tried, or at least never succeeded or happened to leave the evidence of the attempt. She slides the door open with a digging of her heels and a strain of her arm. He moves to put his hands into his pockets. She thinks that's what he's meant to do anyway, but there are none on his jumpsuit. I'm late, I know. He turns his head towards her, lips parted, but his response dies as his gaze slides down to her feet. She shifts her weight to her other foot, pursing her lips as heat burns the tips of her ears. She's in casual clothes, and not her typical business attire, and her knees and patches of her shirt are dirty with clumped dust and smeared dirt. She also knows that her skin is shining with a layer of sweat, and there's no helping her hair when she's sweating in humidity, no matter how tightly she pulls it back. His eyes linger on the bursts of wispy frizz sticking out around her temples, and then flick across her face and throat as he turns to face her. Did you get stuck in a flu, Granger? I have to battle for one last copy of a book at a bookshop. I crawl to the ends of the earth only to realise they were fresh out of sleazeeky everywhere.
Zing, Malfoy, one after the other.
Actually, you had to save a kitten from a fire and now have no ideas on how to save it from inside the jungle of your hair. Put on a finished? He tilts his head, lips twitching. Not quite. I'm actually the muggle you imperioed to scrub your house. I see. She can hear the amusement as plainly as she would have if he gave into the smile threatening his mouth. Her expectant look turns into a glare as he starts towards her. Were you not taught any semblance of manners?
I should be so excited then to read his Malfoy.
Her expectant look turns into a glare as he starts towards her. Were you not taught any semblance of manners? A thank you would be... It's not my house. He takes the robe she holds out and immediately reaches for the other hanging over her arm and draping the first back over her before looking up at her. It's yours. It's not mine. She takes three steps back and as he steps out of the cell. And I still could have had you clean it. The amusement leaves no trace when it's gone. Since it's not directly related to the assignment, no, you couldn't have. It is directly related to the assignment, she says, stepping back before he starts down the hall. They specifically mentioned you living in the filth the last meeting, and you told them you'd plan to force a muggle to clean it when you had the desire to stand the stench of one, because you're above cleaning. His steps might have hesitated, but the pause is so short that she can't be sure. You're the one that goes through my memories. What? To stand the stench of one. I didn't say that in my interview. She pauses behind him as he stops in front of the wall. Her vision glazes over in thought before she moves around him. No, you said you told them you'd do it when you had time. I assumed you forgot the exact wording, but I guess not. She taps on the stone quickly, feeling him hover over her shoulder. Did you do it on purpose? To see if I'd mention a few small inconsistencies and then you'd know... Who checks your memories? He brushes past her when the wall opens, the fabric of his jumpsuit cold against her sweaty arm. Sweaty again, man. Oh.
Respect. It's a validation for me.
Me too, honestly. It's been a sweaty week. She pushes her briefcase under her arm and grabs the lantern from a hook on the wall, yanking the matches from her pocket. Her shoes click noisily down the dark tunnel as she follows him, striking the match until it lights. His back is lighted further away than she thought it was, and she speeds up her steps, the torch jostling in every direction but towards the flame. Does that bother you, that I'm the one who sees them? He always walks fast, but she's nearly having to jog just to keep up with him now. I don't like anyone seeing my memories. They're moments of time that you happen to be in. They're not even from your perspective. She half turns, swinging the lantern back at a heavy clunk and raising her wand as her heart leaps to her throat. There's no one or thing behind her, though, and her eyes travel up from a large wet spot on the ground to a gathering ball of water on the domed ceilings. Someone happened to be watching you constantly and you found out about it. You wouldn't mind.
Oh, is that a foreshadowing about a potential animagus keeping an eye on Hermione?
Oh!
I don't know.
Snaps for JoJo! I love this theory. I'm all for the conspiracy of the animagus.
Watch it just not happen, yeah.
Imagine she's just been, or they've just been leading us on. Rude. Misdirection. It's not an animagus. It's a...
Yeah, go on. You tell us,
Aisha. House elf.
Yes, very good.
Sorry. She cringes as she starts forward again. There are some times throughout the day, every day, that she feels a prickle along her skin, a sensation of something at the back of her head. It's worse at night when there's only darkness outside the windows and no way to notice a face on the other side, watching and waiting. Sometimes she convinces herself that someone's there and her heart threatens to beat out of her chest until she can hardly breathe. I don't watch you, she answers quietly, but it still echoes down the walls. She does watch him. Sometimes she watches twice just to watch him. He stopped at the end of the tunnel, and she gets near enough for the lantern to start lighting his feet, and she likes that, knowing where he is, centering herself in the dark, stopping her imagination from picturing 100 feet circling her. You've studied more than you need to, Granger. She doesn't know how to answer that, and so she doesn't, moving around him to tap on the wall. His sock-clad feet scrape against the floor as he takes a step away, and she shoots a look to the side, wondering if he can smell her sweat as clearly as she does.
Socks.
I know. She ducks through the hole when it appears, taking a step forward and then to the right, and he emerges a second later. His foot snaps out of a step when it meets a sharp rock, but he picks his way across the short distance as easily as he did the first time he came here. Does it bother you more that it's me than it was one of the other auras? There's no reason for her to ask beyond the nag of her curiosity, and she doesn't expect him to answer. No. Maybe it bothers him less, or the same, but she doesn't ask this time. It doesn't matter anyway. She'll go through them when he likes it or not, and she thinks he knows that. She settles the lantern on the shore and stretches to slide her briefcase into the boat. Her arms, tired from cleaning, strain when she shoves against the wood. There's a second of crunching as the boat moves forward, and then her effort isn't enough. She pulls in a breath, but it stops in her throat when the crunching starts behind her this time. Malfoy's hands plant themselves onto hers on the wood, and she steps back, her right arm swinging down to her hip. Malfoy flashes her a look and a spark of grey in the moonlight, and she clears her throat. Your inhumanly long fingers startled me, she lies. His fingers are long, even longer than Ron's, but they aren't exactly inhuman or worth being startled over.
Why are you comparing his and Ron's
fingers? Oh, hands on hands here, though, ma'am.
Yeah, I know, but also, like, she's comparing his fingers with her ex-lover. I just think there's something there.
Maybe this is your chapter, Jake. Maybe this is our chapter.
This is our chapter. Come on. Oh, don't get our hopes up, please.
Maybe there'll be like a hug. Nah. You're right. It was a sudden proximity. It was him doing something he's never done before and that she would have never expected him to do. Bending down to untie the rope from the post, she wonders why she didn't just tell him that. He doesn't have to help push the boat out. She thinks he usually enjoys watching her grunt over the labour of it while trying to keep track of him behind her. Maybe it's Malfoy's way of saying thank you for scrubbing Rome for hours. He doesn't seem like the type to allow a favour without doing something to pay it back. He doesn't like anything dangling over his head. I've never had complaints, he mutters, and then shoves the boat forward. It scrapes loudly into the sea. Well, I'm filing one.
Oh, very good.
She dusts off her hands and then picks up the lantern. She approaches him, glancing at his raised eyebrow before she tosses the rope and her robe into the boat. She'll put on her robe and they leave the cave because it's too hot not to spend every second she can outside of it. Thank you, she says, giving him a significant look. His other eyebrow joins first and she sniffs. Just get in a boat, Malfoy. August 11th, 11:53.
Come on, that was some flirty energy.
We love it. We love it.
That was great.
The door flies open and Hermione can tell by the way it smashes against something before feet clunk twice into the kitchen. You need to leave, Granger. Malfoy speaks quickly and there's a push of quickness that reminds her of his... Malfoy speaks quickly and there's a push of quickness that reminds her of walking alone and hearing something other in the dark. Her mouth drops when she turns the corner, feet stuttering to a stop in the rhythm of her heart. His face is smeared in blood and there's large wet spots on his robe and she knows would be red if she could see a colour. His hand is a fist around his wand, splattered in blood. Go! But they're coming. Her heart slams against her ribs, sending a pulse of blood that seems to make her whole body throb. And I swear, is that your... She yanks the box from her pocket, nearly dropping her briefcase and the crinkled maps under her arm as she digs her nails under the ridge of the lid. I said to fucking go, he yells, and she disappears to his head, snapping towards the back window.
Ooh.
August 12th, 7:47 a.m.
Ooh!
Damn. Hermione's eyes dart to the map of the ministry and finding it empty. She jumps to her feet. She passes three street maps before reaching Russia, spotting the blue dot, and then takes one more step to know that he's at the revival headquarters. She shoves wisps of curls back from her face, but can't ease the anxiety enough to sit down again. She paced the length of her home office seven times before, remembering to mark down his travelling hours in her note. 7:48, 8 hours, Rome to Russia, RH. 8 hours, 8 hours. It's felt like an entire day since she's left Rome. She knows he's wearing his portkey. If the revival was coming after him to kill him, he would have come to her or used his portkey at some point, which makes her think that he hoped the situation was salvageable and turned out to be correct so far, or it's a completely different situation. Maybe someone found him out, they followed him and he had to kill them, and then the last 8 hours were spent hiding the mess or trying to come up with a reason for the higher circle. Or was it a mission gone badly? But why would he bring them to Rome? Hermione stops in front of the map, checking it again. He had been covered in blood. If it was all his, he would have needed to be healed by now. Or he would have bled out from whatever injuries were bad enough to cause that much blood. She'd imagined him lying on the floor for hours, bound to something, waiting for her to come back, while she never did in time. It's been driving her near madness for hours, and she's barely stopped herself from taking the chance and apparating back. Every scenario is played again and again through her mind, and she doesn't think her heart can be this frantic for so long without causing extensive damage. She feels that she must do something, while warring with the knowledge that she can't. His life is her responsibility, and she's just standing here. But he's moved now. At least he's moved. 2:38 p.m. Hermione steps over the fallen branch onto a pointed rock that the rubber of her trainers mold around. Birds are chirping around the woods, and occasionally something rustles in the leaves or scrapes bark, causing her to whirl around with her wand extended every time. She doubts anyone would be out here, but she can't be sure, and her paranoia spikes higher the closer she gets to Rome. Malfoy's dot had disappeared from Russia a few hours ago, and she'd searched every map, panic rising like a steel fist in her chest, before realising that the tracking spell had worn off. She'd paced between the maps and the notebook on her desk, and would have contacted the auras had they been able to do anything at all. It wasn't until the candle flickered to life an hour ago, telling her someone was in Rome, that she made up her mind. If the house is filled with the revival and Malfoy looks to be in danger, then she'll bring auras in. Hermione ducks under entwined branches, careful not to let any part of her brush the leaves. Her ankle hits against a branch across the ground, but she catches herself before she can bash her face on anything. Her heart thumps at the base of her throat and she swallows dryly, closing her eyes for a moment. Memories play in broken flashes, and behind her eyelids there's Harry, Ron and herself flashing through the trees, the heavy weight of a Horcrux being shoved to the ground on her knees, and Harry limp in Hagrid's arms. This is why she doesn't go into forests anymore. This is why sometimes she shakes at the cropping of trees. She opens her eyes, somehow sure she'll feel Harry or Ron gripping her arm to pull her to her feet, or take one of their hands to ease the fear that she'll see carved into their features. She straightens up, rubbing dirt off her palm and onto her trousers, her breath catching in her throat. She looks behind her, her hand trembling around her wand, almost expecting an outstretched hand and the gaping grin of a snatcher. When there's no one there, she searches around her again, and then scans the tops of the trees until she's sure. She starts moving forward again, working her way around roots and around brush, moving as quickly as she thinks she can without making a sound. She circles around a large, thick trunk and spots a glimmer of water between the trees. She's at the pond then, and Rome would be right after it. She grips her wand tighter, skirting between the two trees just enough to spot Rome without anyone being able to spot her. A gleam of white against the overgrown grass catches her attention first, though, and she finds Malfoy sitting at the edge of the water on the other side of the pond. For a moment, there's relief. It drops to her stomach and her shoulders sag with it, the tension of the past 14 hours sliding from her bones. She can see him well enough to know he's clean, no hint of blood on his skin, and the way he's sitting there doesn't suggest a position of death. He's so pale that he nearly glows in the sun. Azkaban doesn't let their prisoners near a window, and she thinks this is probably the first time he's been in sunlight for 5 years. If the night hadn't gone so terribly, she might stay there for a while longer and let him have it. Instead, the tension ebbs back into her chest and she scans the area around the pond and house for a sign of someone else. She doesn't think Malfoy would be sitting at the pond if someone else is here, but she can't ever be sure. She moves back a few steps, finding a rock that isn't big enough to cause a lot of sound, but will still be more noticeable than a pebble. She picks it up, turning it in her fist, and moves to the left until she finds a gap between the trees where the branches are high enough for the rock not to sail through the leaves first. It goes further than she thought it would, and she thinks Malfoy's eyes snap to it before it even hits the water, though she's not positive from this distance. Old seeker habits or just his constant awareness of everything around him, but he's on his feet the second the rock splashes, and his eyes are settled on the tree next to where she's standing. This is very Hermione circa Prisoner of Azkaban, where she throws the rock that smashes the vase.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Tangents, Sage, we see
this, you. It's feeling, no, it is feeling very, this feels like something from the film.
Oh.
Which I guess is quite an accolade, really, because I think of films.
Love it.
Sorry, I'm just reminding everyone the basic bitch fact that I didn't read the books. Sorry, guys.
She's currently, you're listening to them, though.
Yes, I haven't listened to
them. That sounded so non-committal. Yes.
Yes, I know, honestly. Fanfic's taken over my life. I haven't listened to any in a while, but I was really enjoying it. In fact, that's maybe this week that'll be my goal, is to get through the rest of the audiobook because it is really good.
My goal is to just read a physical book.
Think that's a good idea for you.
Also, when I was younger, I bought the Harry Potter series in the Gryffindor edition. So for anyone out there that knows, they're not pictures of Harry Potter because I'm not down with that, but it's essentially like the Hogwarts emblem at the front, but it's red and the edges of the book are sprayed red, and I don't know why. Oh, I did lovely. It because I hate sprayed edges. This is a side
note.
I only like my gold. Yeah, those are my special edition ones.
Yeah,
but the other ones I hate colored sprayed edges.
Also, you're not even in Gryffindor.
No, I know.
What are you in? Slytherin, right?
Yeah, Slytherin. And I've always come out as Slytherin, but when I was like 10, I hated that fact. And
well, then when everyone wanted to be the main character.
Yeah. And then when I was a teenager, I was like, okay, we can fuck with this. Yeah. And now I'm just fully accepting
of
the fact.
Now it's good to be bad.
I wish I had the capability to just save all the sounds you make on this podcast. We'd have Harry slurping tea, we'd have pussy ass bitch, and we'd have it's good to be bad.
PB makes me laugh, and I fucking said it.
I love it so much.
It really gets me. Right, sorry.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
But okay, sorry. Hermione's throwing the pebble. Exciting.
Yes.
She scans the area again, then steps out slowly, meeting his eyes when they dart to her. They stand silently for three beats of her heart, and then she nods her chin towards the house, shaking her head in question. His left eye squints in the sun, and the wind has picked up strands of his hair to blow them sideways on his head. No! She shakes her head quickly, and her hand waves in the air in front of her in case he doesn't understand the head shaking. She gestures towards the house and nods her chin again. She hasn't picked her way through the woods for the last 20 minutes just for him to blow her location. Even if he thinks the house is clear, it doesn't mean it is. They know his home now. He stands there for a few seconds, and when she starts to wonder if he's dense today or just pretending to be, he turns for Rome. It's only then that she sees the shine of blonde in all that bright white of his hair, and that the blue bruise on the corner of his jaw. He's in the house for 5 minutes, or 5 hours, or 5 days. She's too busy checking the woods behind her again to notice when he does emerge, and when she turns back, he's at the pond again, looking for her. It's empty, he says, his voice deep and raspy, carrying over the water. She steps back out again, but her hand doesn't loosen on her wand. What happened? He licks his lips, a flash of his tongue, and looks at the water shimmering green, blue, and gold. A few of the recruits were reckless. I went to meet up with them in a supply for the run of commanders, and they were in a fight with a group of Muggleborns. Apparently, they told them that they were part of a new group of Death Eaters and then proceeded to torture and kill them. One was alive. They brought her here. Why here? Where else? She moves forward, out of the trees and around the pond, her eyes catching the flight of every bird and every windswayed branch. That's not... There was nowhere else to go. Two of them had already been here, and I knew they would be coming, even without my consent. I could have bound them and left them for the ministry, but that's not exactly loyal, is it? No, it isn't. With his past, they would have held it against him, as a sign he hadn't changed. Why not Russia? They buggered it. They didn't want the commanders to know. She nods, navigating around a patch of yellow flowers while trying not to step in the water doing so. Why did they take the girl? He's silent. When she glances up, he's looking at her like he'd shown her something evil and she thought it was a toy. Agitation bubbles in her chest, but it's replaced with knowledge, and her stomach twists into a knot of nausea. She pauses, and whatever steals her expression makes his jaw clench before he looks away from her. I didn't do anything, he snaps, like she's already accused him of it. I didn't rape women, despite what you... I didn't say you did! His eyes sweep back to her, hard and glaring. You didn't have to, you... I was thinking of that poor woman, and not... She begins to yell and clenches her fist at the burn behind her eyes as her imagination structures images in her head. She was dead before anyone touched her. He looks at her like she's waiting for something, every line of him set into defence. She feels only a small relief at the knowledge that the woman didn't suffer even more before her death, that she wasn't passed around, broken and screaming for help, while Hermione sat in her office and watched a dot move across a map. Her inhale stutters in, too loud not to be telling, and she angles herself away from Matt. She reaches out to the flowers in front of her, fingering them as if it's the entire point of her not moving towards him anymore. She tries to even her breaths, to swallow past the clog of her throat, to shove down the guilt and the helplessness that makes her feel unsteady on her feet. I could have saved her, I could have saved her, I could have saved her. She makes a sound that could have been words, but it's all grunted and emotion heavy and it sounds like she's choking. What next? She manages and drops her hand from rubbing her forehead when she feels it shaking against her skin. They buried her at the side of the house, cleaned everything up and came up with a plan, he says, his tone less sharp. I went along with it until we reached Russia. I told the commanders everything, that I was disturbed with the recruits' lack of loyalty and intelligence and keeping everything hidden for now. And I said I felt obligated to inform them.
So there's just a dead body at Rome? Oh dear.
Unless he's burnt it, maybe? Fingers crossed.
They buried her at that side of the house, but still, woo.
Ugh. That's it, she tells herself, breathing evening out. She can think about the rest later when there's nothing to stop it. There's work to do now. What did they do? She looks around the corner of the pond and into the last stretches towards him. His hands are loose at his sides, his eyes trained on the water, and he's silent. She stares hard, taking in the details of his form, clothing, and the curve of his jaw, and the point of his nose to burn away the images lingering in her mind. Well? They took it as a strengthening of trust and rewarded me. That's good. That's good. Solid progress, because the further he gets in, the more they'll be able to tear the revival apart when they make... to do so, which is the whole point of all this, the reason that she was in her office and not blowing through the doors of Rome, so that soon they'd never hurt another person ever again. Blowing the mission would have made sure that they did, and would have destroyed their only chance to get them before it becomes another war. She's doing the right thing. With what? A pause. What did they reward you with? His hands move into his pockets and his lips thin for a moment. A dinner. With who? I don't know. She crosses her arms, following his eyes to the pond. There's a frog in the shallow water, staring up at them from the bottom, his chest puffing. Why were you hesitating to tell me that? I'm tired, Granger. He sounds it, too. His voice drags and it's low, like it crawled up from his throat. She shakes her head once. There's something else. He had paused too much, like he was holding something back. He was always reluctant to share, even when he knows he'll have to, but it sounds different this time. His face tightened, locked jaw, press of his mouth and his eyebrows raising, and his shoulders pulled back. They gave me a whore, and since I didn't want to fuck her or raise suspicion, I let her suck my... Okay.
Oh my goodness me.
She says, cheeks flaming. What time is the dinner? She bites out, glaring at him, and hopes he thinks the blush is all from her anger when his gaze flicks across her face. She does not want those mental images to replace the others, even if they weren't as hard to swallow as... Jesus, she thinks, her eyes widening as the heat increases in her face. It's a lot easier to never think of Malfoy and anything sexual together, and she has to force her mind not to go there, as it likes to go everywhere when a thread of thought enters it. She honestly, truly hopes that he does not give her that memory as a sort of revenge for her pushing him to tell her. If she'd known it was something like that, she would have let him keep it to himself. You sure you don't want the details? I was a bit too distracted to take notes. But, Malfoy, I do not want to hear about you and sex of any sort with anyone or anything involving your sex life unless it's something terrible happened that directly relates to the assignment, or someone tries to rape you or something, which would be very terrible and would fit into the aforementioned category, which is terrible things, but only if it's terrible things, okay? And not enjoyable terrible things, but I mean honestly terrible.
So, side note, Aisha and I are very open with each other and we have long conversations about lots of different aspects of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we, I think, speak very coherently
and respectfully
about these aspects. But this is me if I try to talk to anyone else about stuff like this.
That's so true.
It's very terrible, but it's also terrible, but also if it's not terrible, it fits into that category.
I had a really great time and did a whole lot of things, but I don't really want to share them with you. I'm already trying to write this.
It's really great, but it's really bad. I don't really know what to say. Whereas when I talk to Aisha, it's almost like poetic.
Oh, it is. If only you could be flies on the wall, animaguses in the wind for those conversations. They're all like, absolutely not. We do not wish that.
We're all gagging at the floor.
They're like, that's why we're listening to Fan Affliction and not Call Her Daddy. And
oh, fair. God.
Yeah. Enjoyable, terrible things, he asks slowly. She shifts on her feet, a pebble rolling from her right foot and down into the water as she looks away from him. There was a man a few years ago who told me he enjoyed terrible, wonderful things in sexual situations, and then he listed certain... He had a list. A long list. She and Seamus still ignore that conversation ever happened.
What?
Seamus.
Hermione and Seamus?
Seamus definitely likes long and terrible things. Seamus Absolutely. Would probably tell everyone at the pub everything he's ever done.
He's Irish. That's a stereotype, no? I'm joking.
We do have listenership in Ireland, so
don't come for us. I actually really like Irish people. I love your accent. Sorry.
Yeah. Although I hate Seamus in the books. Sorry. And
I
the
hate
films.
Seamus in the books and the films. He just fucking sucks.
He does. He really, okay. Yeah. I'm glad we're just so on the same page.
We really are. Scary sometimes.
She looks up, completely startled at the sound of Malfoy's laughter. It fills the quiet of the woods and forms long lines around his mouth, squinting his eyes. She studies the way it changes his face and feels the roll of it against her skin, filling up her eardrums, and she doesn't think she's ever really seen him laugh. He's human. Sometimes, a lot of times, she forgets that. Malfoy is like a walking memory to her. There, unchangeable, and something she revisits again and again and again. She knows him in events, and it's easy to forget that he's a human who changes, feels, and responds, and is someone, a character, a personality, a soul that she doesn't know. Is it Weasley? He asks, the grin slow to fade. Actually, maybe I don't want to know. It wasn't Ron or Harry, and I'm not telling you who, so I know them. She shrugs, looking at the way that the light brightens his eyes. Distantly, by name. He hums slowly, looking back out at the water, and she thinks they'll stay in the sun for just a little while longer. 7:03 p.m. Hermione checks a notebook in her pocket, making sure that nothing has changed and that Rome is still clear. The page is blank and she flips the book shut with a flick of her wrist, cramming it into her pocket. She turns with a crack and opens her eyes to the back door of Rome, reaching out to open it. Empty. Beyond the candles, dancing in the light and the shadows across the kitchen. Her heart speeds up and she licks dry lips, reaching out with the hand holding her wand to knock three times on the frame of the door. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Someone knocks back, an action that's never been mentioned as something they should do. She steps back at the shadow that moves across the wall in the hallway and she drops her wand, letting out a breath when Pruitt emerges.
Oh.
He nods at her and she nods back, crossing the room. He stands in front of the hallway, watching her as she slides her briefcase onto the table. It's weird to see anyone but Malfoy in the house and she doesn't like the way it makes her feel anxious.
Oh.
How'd it go? I don't know why I made that voice.
That?
I don't know what the fuck that was.
I felt like
so
all
sorry.
Of a sudden I was transported to Crocodile Dundee.
That How'd it go? Bizarre. My name's Pruitt. Oh, should have done that from the beginning. Mistake.
That was insane.
Sorry. How'd it go? I don't know why I'm doing that with my go. What is happening? Okay. How'd it go? You know, you can leave this all in here. Guys, I'm sorry.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I have appreciated that.
How did it go? Why?
No,
I don't know how to, I forgot how guys, I do Pruitt's voice.
If you were experiencing any tension in the story, it's now all gone, and that's okay.
You know, that's what they call me. Tension killer, pow pow. How did it go? You know what? We know the words.
I'm not given. Oh my god.
How did it go? Okay, you know he said it. Just imagine he said it in his voice.
Okay. Whew. Picture everyone.
She'd left at 3:30 to sleep and shower, and had got a little more than 2 hours of rest. Even with how little sleep she normally gets, she's not used to running this low on energy, and she feels like she can fall asleep standing against a wall. Any place will do.
Why are you Hermione?
Literally, it's
honestly getting a bit frightening.
I like that at the beginning of this book we were like, we fucking hate her, and now we're like, why it's Aisha.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Oh shit,
orders are real.
Worst fears confirmed. No. All right, so far he's in Italy. Pruitt tosses a map in the air and she flinches when he flicks his wand at it, gliding the map to the table as it unfurls. Hermione looks down at it for two beats of her heart and then blinks her gaze to Pruitt. It's empty. He sticks out his bottom lip, nostrils flaring as he gives a short hum, stepping up to look at himself. He was near Rome. Pruitt's mouth twists in a half smile as he glances at her, but she looks back expectantly. He sets up a pile of maps to the side of the table and begins to rifle through them. What's the address? Not sure, we'll have to ask Belle when he gets back. You didn't check? Pruitt looks up at her, surprise flashing across his face at her accusing tone. He'll tell us. He told us everything before. If he knows, they probably took a port key or apparated him there. He might not know. He pauses in unfolding the map of Russia, blinking at the far wall. That's true, but if Bells is any sort of spy, he'll check for the street names or landmarks. Hermione tries not to snap. Never trust anyone to do a job that you can do yourself. Malfoy's dot is at the Russian headquarters now, but it's at the other address that's important. He could have just had dinner with the commanders, but if he met the nobles, the address is essential. Well, want some coffee? She sighs heavily, shaking her head. Grabbing the back of her chair across from Pruitt, she pulls back at it so it's against the wall.
She shits herself in front of Pruitt. Oh, God, how embarrassing.
No. She sits with a tired hunch in her spine and watches the dot move. August 13th, 5:01 a.m. Do you know where in Italy you went? Malfoy pauses on the way to the loo. It's too soon after. Yeah. Not exactly. I knew it, she mutters harshly, opening her file to all three notes Pruitt had made. Can't trust someone else to do it. They never do it right. Honestly, just look at the map and write it down. You're probably there for at least half an hour. Not that I'd know, since he didn't write that down either. She glances up at Malfoy and takes a second to look when she sees him standing there and staring at her. Are you feeling more unstable than usual, Granger? Well, she's not going to tell him that a ministry worker didn't do a job right. I'm never unstable. I either have the facts or I'm trying to find them, and the latter can make me appear unstable. Preoccupied. Ah. His fingers catch on the first button of his robe as he slides it out from the slot with a push of his fingers. They drop to the second, undoing it just as easily, and then the third. How did the dinner go? Well, he answers, walking to the loo. How? The loo bangs shut with the backwards push of his shoe. Well? She listens to the sound of clothing being removed for a moment and then watches her watch before quickly packing up. She wishes she could do the interview on the way back to Azkaban, but it's always too dark and rocky to keep proper notes on the boat. She's excited to sleep. Excited to sleep for the first time that she can remember. She's so exhausted that the thought of a soft bed and a softer blanket makes her feel peaceful. I met two nobles. Her hand collides with the side of an inkwell, sending it onto its side and rolling off the edge of the table. She snatches it before it can drop, thankful the cap was on. What? She asks, her voice coming out quick and a little high. No, I'm doing that again.
What?
She asks, her voice coming out quick and a little high. My reward was a chance to impress them. Did you? He might only be silent for 2 seconds, but it feels like an entire minute. Well? They want me to lead a mission. Lead a mission? This is good. This is wonderful, even, depending on the mission. What? He says something that's too low for her to make out anything more than the rise and fall of a voice. What? Fucking hell, Granger, you sound like a bloody... He cuts off. She straightens up, pulling her wand as she eyes the door. All right? There's a quick rustle of clothes and she steps around the table before the door opens. Malfoy steps out in a shirt and shorts, and she drops her eyes back to the table. Where's the jumpsuit? It's in there. It isn't. It's right over the towel. It's not in there, Granger. Where did you move it to? I didn't move it, she snaps. Nope. I didn't move it, she narrows her eyes at the quill. He must have put it somewhere. She looks up at Malfoy's silence, forgetting that he's not wearing any trousers, and she keeps her eyes firmly on his face, clearing her throat as he raises an eyebrow. Just, put the clothes on. The eyebrow raises higher. Just wear the normal clothes, Malfoy, and then tell me about the mission. At the interview, he says, disappearing into the loo, though he leaves the door open this time. She slides low enough for it to sound like a growl and glares at the door of the loo, knowing he's smirking.
Has someone moved the jumpsuit?
So, Pruitt, an animagus, is someone gonna pretend that...
Why
is
would
he gonna
need the jumpsuit?
To polyjuices him?
Oh, maybe. That seems too... That's such a big mistake to make. Like, that seems too easy to find out that he moved it. Like, you think he would have worked harder, whoever it is, would have worked harder to hide the jumpsuit. Sorry.
No, maybe they're just... Or maybe he's, I guess, relying on the fact that Hermione's tired and that they're just going to write it off.
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Is this a plot within a plot where it's like Harry, Kingsley, Pruitt, Leecher, like, conspiring to polyjuice as Malfoy to make sure that the information that he's giving us from the Dark Revival is true?
No,
I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, God.
Because it feels like Harry and Kingsley are definitely, like, the deciders, more so than Hermione is at the moment. I don't know.
Mystery.
10:11 a.m. What are you doing? Malfoy asks, covered in blood and panic. I'm bringing her out. There's tunnels under the house, she tells him. The girl is blood-soaked, and when Hermione wraps her arms around her chest and pulls her back, the screaming stops. Figures are moving like black ribbons of people in the other room, laughing loudly and naked, and Malfoy steps back from her. There aren't any tunnels, he tells her. Yes, they're under the house. I dug them. You're talking too loud. They'll hear me. We'll blow everything. You shouldn't have come, he says. She'll find you. The girl goes limp and heavy, so damn heavy, in Hermione's arms, and she looks down to find the eyes white and milky, the battered face covered in tears, snot and blood. Who will find me? She asks, looking at Malfoy, and he's smaller and thinner, more fear than her bones. Bellatrix, he answers. What? She's dead. She's never dead. Hermione's eyes peel open to a pale ceiling, a racing heart, and sweaty skin.
What? So that's a dream.
So maybe she is alive.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Did I write this book, JK?
I think you did.
I did.
I'm getting that impression.
No, I didn't, but I'm loving this.
Oh,
I would
god.
Love that.
I don't want her back.
I don't.
Her.
She's the worst, but also arguably she's a better villain than Voldemort because Bellatrix would just straight up kill people.
True.
Like, she's just a cold-blooded murderer in a way that I don't think Voldemort is. I mean, Voldemort is he 300 or 3000? No, he's 300. Sorry.
300, surely, right?
Could you imagine?
Yeah, he was born around the time of ancient Greece. Yeah, yeah.
Love
yeah.
it. Classic. They called him Voldemorte. Sorry.
I think that's more Latin than Greek, but fair enough.
Oh, no. Shoot. This is what I get for having an expert co-host.
Jesus,
damn it.
Boy, yeah, right.
August 14th, 1:42 p.m. Hermione sets two plates on her table, silverware and a pitcher of pumpkin juice before helping Harry to open the takeaway containers. One of them is rumoured to be an object that, when activated, releases a pulse of magic that binds everyone around it. They could use that to make everyone around defenceless, which would give the revival the ability to do whatever they wanted and just dodge spells that aren't aimed properly anyway. Harry pushes one of the containers to the middle of the table and then opens another. That's the only one you heard about? Yeah, it's a rumour. It didn't come from the higher circle. Harry picks a fallen shrimp off the table and pops it into his mouth, gross, rubbing his fingers against the napkin. So basically, Bells has to go somewhere that he has to steal the objects from, right? Either storage, abandoned, the people aren't willing, but stealing them. Yes, the layout they explained to him sounds a lot bigger than a house, but it could just be a very, very big house, and they told him that he might run into problems. And they didn't tell him what it was, just dark devices, and that he'll have to know what they are. Harry's forehead wrinkles, one eyebrow raising higher than the other. Hermione shrugs, pouring both of them a drink. It's a test to see how well he does leading. He can't plan everything out, so he's got to be quick, efficient, and direct a team in the middle of who knows what. Harry empties half of the box of rice onto his plate before passing it to her. We have to let him get it. But if that dark object is real, if they really find that, we'll get it when we take them down and know from Bells what they plan to use it, when they plan to use it. Hermione sighs, filling her plate with more food than she'll eat, and takes her seat across from him. If he finds it alone, he can destroy it in a way that won't come back on him. Harry nods, spinning a fork in a heap of his noodles. If he can pull it off. Sometimes it's not just as simple as breaking it. Well, I know that. Know it all. He smiles at her when she glares with no heat. I don't want them to get it, to get anything, but Bells has to do it, and he can't fail. The sooner he does, the sooner we finish it. He nods, swallowing, and leans his head forward. For good. She nods, watching the sauce drip from the little packet onto her chicken. Finished. Finished. She can't even imagine a life like that. End of chapter 10.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. Wow, that was quite a chapter, eh?
That was quite a chapter. Goodness me.
That was great. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you for putting up with me.
Oh, shush. That was great. That had so much, I feel like. There was mention of, like, definitely mentions of things that we've been looking at. I mean, obviously Bellatrix is one of them, you know. Yeah. I mean, that was just a dream mention, but it might be something.
It was. And I'm also now going, like, forward. I'm now feeling like Blaze was just a brief mention and yeah, they're fully not going to bring him back, which is yeah, so annoying.
But I think you might be right, but oh, I do think this chapter has really contributed to your Animagus argument. I really think it does. It has.
But I was a bit, I mean, I'd aimed wrong because it's for sure not the cat Pepper, because Pepper's not in Rome.
Yeah.
So, but the frog, it said the frog looked up at them too. I don't know.
Oh, we met. I think we're just so on edge about it now. I think
we are Hermione. Nature.
Yeah. I think one of them is involved, surely.
Or they're running a mission within a mission. So they're like checking on Hermione and Malfoy. Yeah. Unsure.
There was,
Ron's,
you know,
a bit gone. He could come back.
There was a bit of flirty energy.
The energy has changed, and yes, I am here for it.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like next chapter we're going to be in for a good one.
Yeah, I agree. Because
now they don't seem to be biting each other's heads off at all. Yeah. Like, there's just bands.
It is bands. And like, yeah, and definitely a bit of flirting. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, and our first talk about sex.
Yeah. There was, yeah, and it was, and obviously, which is so funny. I love when Hermione's like, I don't know about yours.
Crazy. Yeah.
But also, she's basically like, I don't want to know anything about your sex life unless you've been, like, molested. It was like, Hermione, what a romantic flirt you are.
It's a beat. So, yeah. Well, okay, how many stumbly words would you give that out of 10?
Oh my god. I would give that a good 7, I think, actually. Maybe 7.5. I just really enjoyed it. I do think stuff like Blazer Beanie and I think Bellatrix, I do think they're red herrings, if I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, me too. But it feels like that this chapter, because they totally were just like, last chapter they were like, Blaze, nah, and now yeah, he's just gone.
And her sister, so, and there's a mention of her sister, which is crazy that Hermione knows where she is. Well, at least she knows she's safe.
Okay, this is a thing in like all fan fiction. If Narcissa is involved and he doesn't know where she is, it's always Hermione being like, I know, but I can't tell you, but please be reassured. And yeah, it's really random. I guess it makes sense. But yeah.
So yeah, I think someone's definitely gonna.
So out of 10. Oh no, you just did that. Why am I a goldfish? You said 7.5.
I said 7.5. And I was just gonna say, I do think there's something with that jumpsuit, and I think you're right about someone polyjuicing as Draco. Something's gonna happen there. Like, we're gonna remember that. What do you think out of 10? How many stumbly words out of 10?
I'd give that like a 7.5 also.
Yeah.
Matching the energy in here.
Ooh.
I actually really enjoyed that. There was a lot that happened. I feel like it really picked up again. In terms of the development of their relationship. I feel like we're kind of, I hope I say this and then it will literally just drop off the face of the earth.
Probably.
But
that would be very you.
Yeah. No, but as in like, I hope that this carries on next chapter. I have a lot of hope now, especially because they're both in Rome pretty much full time. So they will have more chatting, which I'm really looking forward to. And yeah.
I love the energy of them together now. It's great. Yeah. It's great. I'm loving this. I'm really
it took
really
us
10 this.
Chapters and probably about 10 hours and a bit, but we made it.
Halfway. And also, it's starting to remind me more and more of the Fallout, which I really enjoy.
Yes, yes.
And I know you can see, compare because they are different texts, but
can see all the start. You can see their style now, Sage's style, definitely, like, in here. It feels like with that bantering and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great.
Yeah.
That was great. All right. Well, thank you for reading.
And yeah, thank you for being the best. I literally don't I just don't know what I'd do without you. I enjoy this very muchly. I can't believe we've been doing it for like 4 months.
Oh my god, I know.
I know. It's kind of mad.
Also 10 and a bit hours, my ass. It's probably like 20 hours. Yeah. It's probably, if you add everything up.
And that's not even including Bouquet and the Zootara book that sure will not be finishing.
So that story.
Anyone out there who liked that can go read it themselves.
Oh, I think I was going to say something mean then. Can go do one, babe.
That was too Love Island-y.
Oh, shut up. Don't relate me to that.
I'm not watching it this year, don't worry. I can't make myself do it. I love myself too much. Yeah, I have watched Too Hot to Handle the first 4 episodes, but I don't think I'm going to continue. Just need to put myself first here.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And for anyone listening, thanks for being here. Yeah. We know we dropped off for a bit, but we're back. Hopefully, well, as consistent as we can be. But yeah, we slowly we see the listens creeping up week by week, which is really exciting.
So lovely. So thank you guys.
Thank you very much. JoJo's back next week.
Oh,
hopefully.
You're welcome, guys. A kiss? In advance. Oh my god, please.
I think we could get there hella soon. Me too. I'm not gonna lie.
Me too. I'm excited.
A chapter or two. We're putting stakes on it.
Yes.
What should I think? I know I did Control F this a while ago, but I actually can't remember which chapter. I'm going to be conservative and guess 13.
Chapters, yeah. Chapter 13.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want to see in the next chapter?
In the next chapter, I want some jealousy. I don't know how, but I want jealousy from Malfoy. I think I would quite like that because I think he gets territorial pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And I feel like they've got a little thing. So it would be lovely if we had like another Aura come in to check who's like kind of into Hermione and Malfoy is just like not vibing with it. I would love that muchly. In terms of the plot, I honestly have no expectations because I'm living in suspense.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Oh, exciting. Okay, cool. I think I agree with you. I'd like to see that. And obviously a kiss. That goes without saying.
Wait, do you think there'll be a kiss in chapter 12?
You know what? I'm gonna say it. I think there's gonna be a kiss next chapter.
Oh!
I'm gonna say it.
Oh, that'll be so exciting.
I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Really? Yeah. So many fingers crossed. All the fingers crossed.
But we'll see you next week. And so hopefully see you guys back here. See you next week, Aisha.
See you next week, JoJo.
Have a great week, everyone. And see you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.